kick off this hour by talking baseball. The trade deadline coming up on Monday, and the place to go to find out what's happening and what's likely to happen is MLBTradeRumors.com. And Steve Adams joins us to talk about it this afternoon. Steve, it's your busy time of year. We appreciate you making time for us.
Oh, absolutely. Always happy to come on. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk first of all about the targets. Who are the prime targets out there, the teams that people are lining up to get their dibs on?
The prime targets are the ones that are least likely to move right now, but are in the most demand are your top-of-the-line starters, Chris Sale, Jose Quintana with the White Sox, and Chris Archer down in Tampa Bay are all drawing tremendous amounts of interest, but each one of those guys is also controlled through at least 2019 in sales case for about $40 million total. Quintana through 2020 for about the same rate, and Archer through 2021 for, again, around that $40 million mark. So asking prices on them are understandably quite high. The names that are likelier to go and drawing a lot of interest right now, Jonathan Lucroy, outstanding three-way catcher with the Brewers, great hitter, great defender, under contract through next season on a really favorable deal that'll only pay him about $7.5 million through the end of next season. Drawing a ton of interest and probably will go in the next few days. The same can be said for Jay Bruce. He's up to 25 homers with the Reds right now, leading the National League in RBIs. He's got an option on a contract for next year, $13 million. And for somebody with his type of power production, a reasonable salary, he should be coming off the board in the next couple of days as well.
Now, did Chris Sale hurt his trade value at all with his uniform tirade last weekend?
I don't think that he hurt it necessarily. He's always been known as a really competitive guy, fiery, outspoken. So I think loosened the White Sox grip on him and thought, maybe he's not as happy here, as we would like or as he would like. But I don't really feel like it changed his trade value one way or the other, although it did make for some good headlines last weekend.
Absolutely. Now, some teams have been proactive, most notably the Cubs and the Red Sox. In those deals they made for Chapman and for Drew Pomeranz, did Theo Epstein and Dave Dombrowski maybe raise the bar and the price of getting some of these remaining pitching guys out there?
Yeah, I think definitely they did. I think you see the prices that are being thrown around for some top-of-the-line closers like Wade Davis and Andrew Miller. I think those teams, the Yankees already got a nice package in the Chapman deal. I think they're looking for quite a bit more in looking at trading Miller because, the Chapman price was so high. Teams with those kind of assets right now are saying, hey, look, this is what it costs to get a rental closer. We want much more than that for somebody who is comparably priced but has another year on his contract. Or, in the case of Pomeranz, he's got 2 years left after this deal, and you give up a top 20 starter in all of, or a top 20 prospect in all of baseball. We got a guy here who signed for another 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and Archer, Sale, Quintana, that's the type of return that we're looking for. So, even the rentals on the market right now, Jeremy Hellickson, Andrew Kashner, those types of guys are still, their teams are asking for somebody who's kind of on the fringes of a top 100 overall prospect in return for them for just a few months, and they're not necessarily the front-of-the-line names that you'd prefer to give up that type of top-tier talent for.
Steve, among the teams that look to be in it and look to be buyers at this point in the season, who's been the most quiet?
I think the Orioles and Marlins have been quiet, not necessarily by choice. Both would love to get something done. Both are firmly in the mix. The Orioles are kind of right in the mix for the lead in the AL East, and the Marlins are right in the brink of the wild card spot out in the NL East, but they both have such thin farm systems that it's really tough for them to augment their rotations in the way that they would like to. The Orioles in particular really need to do so. Outside of Kevin Gausman and Chris Tillman, their starters have an ERA just under 6 on the year, so they really, really need to get another arm into that rotation to kind of help balance out. They have a great lineup and a great bullpen, but the back three spots of that rotation have given them almost nothing this year. But they just don't have a lot of prospects to deal, and the asking price is so high right now for starting pitching that they're having a really tough time making something happen.
We're talking with Steve Adams of MLBTradeRumors.com. The Yankees have dealt Chapman, and then the question remains, are they going to continue to be in a selling mode? Could somebody like an Andrew Miller, maybe a Sabathia, be available?
I think Andrew Miller has they've kind of taken the same stance on him all season long, and it's, we're going to ask the moon for him, and if you want to meet it, you know, make your offer. But they basically told teams, this is what we want for him from your organization. There's nothing for us to talk about. He has 2 years left on his contract at $9 million a season after this year, which in today's game is a really great for somebody who is as dominant as he is on that bullpen. You know, they told the Cubs since May, basically, we want Kyle Schwarber or there's no conversation. And they held to that, and the Cubs eventually moved on to Chapman, and they worked out a deal there. I think that's kind of the stance they're taking around the league. Pick, here's the guy we want out of your organization. Fill in some pieces around it, but if you're, you know, it's more often than not going to be the player that that organization, the interested organization, considers to be its most untouchable name. So I don't know that Miller is, quote, available. I think they'd love to move CC just because of the contract. He's going to make another $25 million next year. The name that I would watch in New York is Carlos Beltran because he, like Chapman, is a free agent at the end of the season. I think they're not necessarily giving up on the year, but if they can get some good quality long-term pieces for a guy who's going to be a free agent in 2 months, as they did with Chapman, I think they'll look to do that.
There are also some guys we tend to think of pitchers and maybe power hitters as the targets at the deadline, but there are a lot of useful guys that could be available. We've heard some buzz about Eduardo Nunez, who's having a really good year, and it appears, too, from the website that people like both Elcides and Yunel Escobar, guys that can really help a contending team, could be had, and maybe not for a huge price.
Yeah, you know, I think any of those guys, especially in the case of Yunel Escobar and Eduardo Nunez, Jed Mowry is another guy who comes to mind like that. You know, these are guys who can play two, three, four positions. They might not excel necessarily at any of them, but if they're not going to kill you defensively at one of those spots, and they can bring an above average or average bat to the equation, you know, that's something that can really help a team down the stretch. Whether it's, you know, just let you rest some of your regulars, let you plug in a guy as a stopgap while somebody is injured, and you can kind of move them around as needed down the line or down the stretch. There are a lot of nice pieces there. Nunez and Yunel Escobar are both signed through 2017 right now. Escobar at $7 million, and Nunez is only making about $1.4 million this year with another year of arbitration left. So, yeah, there are some nice pieces you can really kind of bounce around and give teams a versatile piece. And I do think, especially in the case of Nunez, because he's so affordable financially, I think there's going to be plenty of interest in him, and I would expect him to probably get moved in the next 3 or 4 days.
Now, when teams want a talented guy, they can pay a lot in terms of prospects and talent, or they can also take on, in addition to the guy they want, a contract that's not very attractive. And you wrote on the site today that might happen with the Royals, who are looking to possibly package Wade Davis with Ian Kennedy's not all that appealing contract.
Yeah, it's funny how quickly the Royals have kind of changed their tune on Kennedy. You know, this offseason they were willing to give him a 5-year, $70 million contract with an opt-out clause. It was kind of a shocking contract at the time because a lot of people thought, you know, he should have accepted the qualifying offer from the Padres last season, and then he comes out and signs a $70 million contract. And now the Royals are kind of backpedaling on it already. He's owed about $52 million over the next half season. And they're looking at, okay, well, maybe if we, you know, package him with Wade Davis, who's in really high demand right now, because we shed this contract, I have a really hard time seeing it. As good as Davis has been, he's you know, still a reliever that's under control for one more season at $10 million next year. And so you're looking at it and saying, you know, do you really want to take on Ian Kennedy and $10 million of Wade Davis? If what you want is Wade Davis and you don't really want Ian Kennedy, then in that scenario, you're basically paying $70 million for a year and a half of Wade Davis, which is, you know, insane, obviously. And Davis has his control, his velocity's down, not a ton, but, you know, a little mile per hour. And he's been on the disabled list of forearm tightness already this year. So there are definitely some red flags with him. I think a lot of teams would love to roll the dice on him, but not necessarily means taking on a contract of the magnitude that Kennedy is signed to.
Dave Dombrowski's been pretty proactive, having made three decent moves already, shoring things up. But the bullpen still needs some help, clearly. Kimbrel due back maybe in another week or so. Koji Uehara may be done for the season. Are you hearing the Red Sox name come up in any of these conversations?
Yeah, I think Dombrowski actually came out publicly today and said he thinks he's done with most of his healing and that he's happy having set the rotation up for success, you know, in the final 2 months. And, you know, that's all well and good, but the fact of the matter is, you know, Kimbrel's on the DL, Uehara's hurting, like you said. They really could use another bullpen arm, and it's not necessarily in, you know, Dave Dombrowski's style to sit back and say, well, we'll just go with the pieces that we have in-house. He's been one of the most aggressive general managers in the game, and there's, you know, the one area on the trade market right now where there's a lot of options available is in relief pitching, particularly in their relief pitching. I do think that he'll have to go out and add one more piece. And, you know, there's no benefit for him to come out and say to the media and broadcast to the world, yes, I want one more reliever, but I'd be pretty surprised if they're not at least working pretty hard to try to bring one more in-house there.
Steve Adams writes for MLBTradeRumors.com, and that's right now the go-to site. Look, you got to be there throughout the day and keep checking on it just to find out what's going on. Steve, we really appreciate you checking in with us this afternoon. Have fun these next few days, and we'll be talking with you again soon.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.